We got it, y'all. This is what we're gonna do. Y'all heard that line? And I fight with the strength that I got until I die. How much strength y'all got? I'm gonna stand up, take my people with me. Together we are going to a brand new home. Far across the river. Sing along. She knows what's around the bend. We don't. To face, 'cause I'm alone, and I just might fail, but Lord knows I'll try. Y'all heard that? She's ready to fail. That ends by saying, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. So that's a song honoring Harriet Tubman. I don't need to tell you her full story, hopefully. And hopefully in 20 years, people will still know that story. We're not sure, though. A part of the story that people sometimes don't know is that she was leased out, because that's what we did with humans then. She was leased out to care for children across different areas of Maryland. And as she would go to one house, to the next plantation, so on and so forth, she would pay attention and track the rivers, track the forest, track the seasons, and things of that nature. She and other, many, many people who helped to free people, because we only are allowed to talk about Harriet as if she was the only Black person that ever helped another Black person. I bet you can all name 10 white people who helped Black people during that time. That's not by mistake. She and others befriended Indigenous people to learn about their land, to learn about what they knew about the land, so that when it was ready for them to escape, they could. You know those cornrows that we used to call ghetto and hood? at least now we kind of allow it since Beyonce wore them. They used to use cornrows to create patterns to tell people how to escape. All of that was preparation. Harriet didn't wake up one day and say, "Come with me, I know how to escape." She prepared. This is our preparation time. Can we get Cecilia to mute herself, please? This is our preparation time. We need to be preparing because we are currently in places that we know. When Indigenous people were told to move from this place to that place, a part of the reason that that was done because they didn't, our US government didn't want them to know how to escape. They didn't want them to know how to use the land properly. They didn't want them to know how to hunt. Do you not think that's going to happen again? This is the same America that did that. Right now, we know the places. Y'all all know how to get here, right? Y'all know how to get to Prince George's County? If I put y'all in Prince George's County right now, y'all wouldn't know what to do without your GPS. Right now, I don't know how to get anywhere here. Right? So we need to be preparing right now because we're in places that we know. We need to be preparing right now because our institutions still look recognizable, even if they're not holding as we hope they would. This is the point where some people might be saying, "This is getting political. She's touching up against it." This is the world we're living in right now. And if you have the beauty to not have to think about this stuff, kudos to you. Because those of us who have consistently been harmed, those of us who are in identities that society has told us over and over not to hear, not to care for, not to love, not to worry about. We had like 4 years of almost touching freedom. Do you understand how it must feel right now for us? For us to be in the country that says we own freedom. It's in everything that we do and we say publicly, beyond our shores, in our shores. And it's only been 10 years that someone who loves someone of the same gender could show that love legally and supposedly keep their rights. 10 years. And we're about 2 years from that being dissolved. If that. I played that song because I wonder who's ready to be Harriet. I wonder who in this room, who in the meetings that you all represent is ready to be our Harriet, because we're gonna need a lot. That's what this whole time that we've been together has been about. that opening, that frustration, that tugging of your emotions, that asking you, what is your place? It is to ask you if you're ready to prepare a place for others. It is to ask you if you're ready to fail. While doing the right thing. We're about to ask ourselves a question. The question is how deep is your love? How deep is your love? How deep is your love for freedom? How deep is your love for your neighbor? How deep is your love for people who we see harmed, hurting, in harm's way, and we know that there's that of God in them. Because this is the thing, all at work we've been doing since like 2014, some people only caught up in 2020, it's okay. Since 2014, we've been doing a lot of soul searching in America. Some people were woken up by the Trayvon Martin shooting, killing. Some by Sandra Bland, et cetera. I won't add on all the et ceteras. I only got an hour left. That work, to some people, feels like it was for nothing because of where we are right now. I see the head nods. That work of racial justice and social justice and understanding how to be an ally and reading the books. Why did I read all those books if we were just going to end up here? Is what a lot of people feel right now. And I say, you read those books because we were going to end up here. You read those books because you needed to figure out now, well, then, how to be an ally now. How to be a co-conspirator now. How to stand in the front line, in front of people who have been beat down and torn down. With your little scrapes and bruises, how dare you not stand in front of those people right now? I'll say it again, with your little scrapes and bruises, how dare you not stand in front of people who have been beat down, harmed their whole life? How can you not? The thing is that those people need you to answer that question. How deep is your love? And for some of you, you might need to say, how deep is my love for God? Because that's the thing that's going to help you to move forward. How deep is my connection to the light? How deep is my connection to the divine? Use the words that you need to use. But at the end of it all, it's God in love. And so I welcome you to consider, how deep is your love? And if you're having difficulty, consider that there is going to be a point where the people that you're maybe not as connected to have all gone away. And all that's left is the people that you love to harm. The only people left to harm will be the people you love. So, if nothing else, stand up for those folks that are ahead of the line. The totem pole of America, which, as I said that, I know I don't need to explain. I'm sure we can all envision the racial and gender totem pole of America. When it comes to power, it looks one way. When it comes to harm, it literally flips. And there's some of y'all who will get that in 3 days. And that's okay. This is long-term learning. I welcome you to worship on the song, to let your heart answer the question, how deep is your love?
Yeah.
How deep your love is.
I really mean to love. Once we live in a fool, yeah. Break it up down, yeah. When they all should let us be. We belong to you and me.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
Below the door.
You care for who does not think you care for them. Let us be.
We belong. Break the music. Come on, say it. How deep is your love? How deep is your love? I really need to learn. Cause we live in a world of fools. Breaking us down. Yeah. When they all should let us be. We belong.
We belong.
Y'all help us. How deep
belong to you and me.
How deep is your love? I really mean to learn. Cause we're living in a world of fools. Breaking us down.
hoping they all should let us be. We belong to you and me. Yeah.
One more time for Yeba.
There's people who need to know. There's people that you love that you have never told that to. You need to go out and tell them that. They need to hear it. They need to know it. And that starts off with the people that you're close to who need to hear it. But then there's those people who maybe you've been thinking about their calls, thinking about their issues, thinking about their needs. And been saying how sad it is that fill in the blank. And they don't know that you're thinking of them. Our energy that we have been storing up, that beautiful work we've been doing, it's ready. That space that you've been carving out for yourself, that work that you know is yours to do, that thing that has been tugging at your heart, that every time you see it, it hurts you, and you can't stop thinking of it. That's yours. Thank you for worshiping with me today. Today we're going to talk about simple, brave, and outlandish. Simple is not automatically equal to easy, though it may be at times. Brave is the things that make your heart twinkle like that heart up there. Brave are the things that affect parts of the world that you might not even be a part of. For those who can't see it, that's intentionally the part of the globe that does not show the U.S. Brave might be scary. And brave might be confusing as hell. Like, what? How does that even work? How am I going to do that? Not at my age. If my clicker's going to work. Outlandish. Outlandish acts are first outlandish. And eventually become brave. And then there's this point where it's simple. If you're living the world as a woman, a female, raise your hand. If you live in the world as a woman or a female, raise your hand. If you are wearing a skirt or a dress that does not show your ankles, keep your hand up. If your ankles are shown, put your hand down. Who's left? Who's left? Who's left? Everybody got them ankles out. Everybody got your hands still up? Okay, hands still up. That's good. That's good. We got one left. We got one left. It didn't when everything that we're wearing today would have been outlandish 200 years ago. even in Quaker spaces, our progressive selves, we got female pastors and preachers, but they better not show them ankles. That was outlandish. Then there was a point where it became brave. And here I am presenting to y'all with my knees out. I did not just wear this outfit to make that point. I see now how I could feel that way. I dressed up for y'all tonight. And so I'm asking you all to consider simple, brave, and outlandish acts that meet the moment that we're in. Not just something that's brave for where y'all at. Something that's brave for where we at, y'all. Where we at, that's when that works, by the way. That's grammatically correct for the emphasis that it needs. Because it's brave to file a suit against an administration 6 days into the administration. And I'm proud to say, for those who don't know, that I'm from a Delphi Friends meeting, which was one of the first litigants for this. We had 4 days to decide to be a part of that. Quaker speed. What? Quakers can make a big decision in 4 days? Might be something going on. It was 4 days. We had 4 days before the inauguration. We heard the plans. People came to us. You know why they came to us? Because they said they know that Quakers do brave things. And we were in Maryland, and that's a good place to put this kind of lawsuit. Hashtag planning. We had 2 called meetings, one to inform people of what the heck was going on, another one to say, what we gonna do? Two hours after the what we gonna do, we decided we were gonna do it. Officially, I think Richmond came in like 13 minutes before we decided. So we might have been the second ones to decide it, but we did it. The types of questions that came up during those meetings were, is this going to stop us from being able to do other immigrant rights work? How do we make sure that we're prepared for if the wrong type of person finds out that we're the ones? Not we shouldn't do it because the wrong type of person could find out that we're the ones. What do we do to prepare for if that happens? We got 3 immigrants in our community. And we don't know their status. And they weren't even on these meetings. Because it doesn't have to be for somebody in your meeting house. We can't expect our meeting houses to ever look different if we only do things for the people who are already in there. Why would anybody else come? moseying towards reparation. So simple, y'all. It's real simple. I'm not trying to make y'all do reparations. I'm putting it in the simple file of simple, brave, and outlandish, because it actually is pretty simple. You give money, you make a relationship. You decide who got harmed. Pretty easy to figure that out. In 3 weeks, we were able to figure out how much money our original land was paid, how much we paid for it, and figure out what it would mean for today's money, and say that is now our bill to those people. It took 3 weeks because we just wanted to double check. We haven't started payment yet. Got to figure some things out on that end, but we know what our bill is. It was deep work, though. And the reason I got Mosey spelled that way, because that's how Mosey Harrington, again, amazing force in Adelphi, that's how she spells her name. I was at Peace and Social Concerns meeting, and Mosey said, I've been pushing this. We're going to do it this year. Got to do reparations. And at the end of that meeting, I pulled Mosey aside and I said, Mosey, you got to slow down, sister. To add to this, let me just make sure to paint the full picture. Mosey is an older white woman, a force. But I didn't know she was that much of a force to bring in reparations. And I told her, I said, this is something that you feel passionately about, and I appreciate that, and I believe in reparations, and I think that it is absolutely needed. But this is your push and your fight, and you're not considering the fact that we have 10 to 12 people of color in our meeting house who's going to be pulled aside and say, well, what you think about these reparations? I've been hearing Mosey talk about these reparations, don't you? You want the reparations? How much money you think you gonna get? I told her, you trying to mess up my good thing? You trying to make me have to curse out people that I like, because they gonna come to me like I'm gonna personally get these reparations. When it's your idea, you figure out and make sure that our meeting is ready for this. Don't put us on the line for your good idea. And she did the work. About 6 months later, we had two educational programs around it, explain what it was, what it wasn't, what it was, what it wasn't. We did a second hour where we invited the whole community in our meeting to explore concepts of reparations across six different topics. We did a thought experiment. That's when I came up with simple, brave, and outlandish. Because I didn't want nobody just with some simple behind idea. And I'm saying behind because I'm from the South. And I'm being respectful. We wanted some things that was outlandish. We also wanted some things that would inspire self-awareness, where you could be in a group and somebody say, you keep talking about a tutoring program. You really think that's enough? You think the school systems don't have tutoring programs? How is that what we're supposed to be doing? That second hour, where people were, they chose their section. So we had six topics, housing, economic development, health, et cetera, et cetera. What we got from that were not explicit things to do for reparations, but it was what was important to our people in the meeting, which was they wanted some local efforts. They wanted to reshape historical stories, and I'll explain that in a second. And they wanted to right some wrongs. So we went about finding how to find things to, at that point, fund, because we hadn't gotten to relationship building and we didn't want to stop and wait on relationship building to then be able to do it. You know why? Because out of that conversations that we were having, that Mosey and others came together and had with individual people, small groups, we got in our budget $15,000 to do reparations. So we did it. We gave $10,000 to a local community college. The only requirement for them to pay for licensing, for career licensing. So if you're a lab tech, an x-ray tech, or whatever, that's something that's stopping people from getting jobs. You pay for it. Only thing you have to do is be African American or indigenous, period. No other questions asked. And we had to tell the people at the community college, we really mean that. We gave $2,000 to the National Black Farmers Association. And then we did two different things across two different years. First year, we gave to the Prince George's County Lynching Project. Most states and counties now have a lynching project where they're acknowledging those who were lynched, the 4,400 people that we decided could be lynched off of ideas and thoughts and whistles. So I'll say Michael Green, Thomas Jurek, John Henry Scott, and Stephen Williams are the four that we know of that were lynched in Prince George's County. So they have a memorial, and we gave money towards that. And then we gave money towards a group that was putting together a play to understand how enslaved people used the legal system to get themselves to be free. Some of them were accomplished, some of them didn't. So that's that writing of historical knowledge, right? Consider being enslaved, being told you cannot read, you're not allowed to read. And you had a nerve to go to the legal system and say, I know how to get myself free. If you say I'm this, this, and this, then I'm gonna use this, this, and this law. Magical for those who were here yesterday. I bring this up not to tout us. We could be doing more, we could be doing better. But I bring it up because this is your time to consider for the next 20 minutes talking with your meeting. I give these numbers because people like numbers. I gave the higher number to outlandish because outlandish needs to be more. I'm gonna give you one more example of outlandish because that usually is needed. You can say we wanna look at homelessness. And then somebody else might say, oh, I wanna look at LGBTQA rights. You could combine that and say, okay, you know what? The people who have some of the hardest time getting into shelters are people who are part of the LGBTQAI spectrum. So if we wanted to do something with that, we could build many houses on our property and lease it for free for 2 years to help people get on their feet. And the requirements would be you're unhoused in whatever way, and you're part of the LGBTQAI spectrum. Outlandish could be we're gonna open up our hospitality room in our meeting house. We're gonna take a room in our meeting house and put two beds there. And when trans people are getting their surgeries and they have no place to heal, they can come to us. And the doctors, we're gonna talk to the doctors, we're gonna talk to this, we're gonna talk to that person, we're gonna talk to that. We're gonna let people know that we are here. We're gonna get 10 people trained on how to take care of people to do that so that they won't have to worry. I'm just using those as examples. All right, y'all got 30 minutes, 20 minutes. So now will be when Liz should open up the breakout rooms. Choose your breakout room based on your meeting. Those in here, turn to your meeting folks. Come up with one or two national or local problems that you want to consider some outlandish and brave solutions. Don't overthink it. The person who starts to overthink it, say she said not to overthink it. Say, I'm going to tell on you. All right, go, 20 minutes.
All right, thank you all. Gonna bring everybody back together. All right, we're gonna start online, so we're gonna ask everybody in the room to go ahead and finish up. Y'all actually have more time than them, so I'm gonna ask y'all to stop, look, and listen. All right, so online, we want to hear from at least three people online about something that is brave. So raise your hand if you got something to tell us that's brave. Don't do it in Quaker time. Do it quick time. Raise your hand or unmute yourself. Go ahead, Cecilia. I see you. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we were talking about all that we could do in our communities in Florida. There's different groups we could work with. Like I've worked with the survivors of torture. We also have many, many people from different countries, from Afghanistan, from just many countries that we have had bad times. So we were talking about how we can share that. Maybe just start by meeting with other meetings. And so that was one of the things that we talked about and how we can support people.
So you're meeting with other meetings to tell them about the need of other people?
I think they already knew what the need was, but what are some things, positive things that could be done to support movement, to support stability? And
all right, thank you. Got it. So make sure when y'all do that, that you pull in organizations that's actually already doing that work with, sounds like you said, for instance, refugees or immigrants. I was saying when y'all do that, make sure you connect with other organizations that's already doing that work, such as refugee and immigrant organizations. Y'all keep on hearing me say that. So I'm going to just assume moving forward that everyone is going to connect to organizations that's already doing that work.
We're already doing it.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Next, something brave. And let's go a little bit quicker.
One of the things I think some of us are from very small meetings that are struggling to survive. Some of us are from larger meetings. And I think one of the things that's brave is no matter what, whether you will do it on your own because your meeting is too small or and too scared to move, stand up. Whether you stand up with your meeting or you stand up as you are led, stand up. Do not let the fact that you might have to start alone stop you from going forward. We need to stand up. That's it. That's all.
Thank you. Hope. That brings me, and I'll that give everybody, give somebody else on here time to think about something that they said. And those out here, we're going to ask for three brave actions as well. Then we'll go back online for two outlandish actions. Something I want to say that is very important, I think, to say, because we want to talk about community. We talk about community in a lot of different ways. I think we have a lot of work to do around community. But one thing we say quite often is like, we want to pull people in and call people in, and we want to go together, you know, to get what more people together, we're going to go further and, you know, those things. And that is good. But you have to know that you need to move forward. You need to tell people, hey, we're about to move over here. Who's ready to move over here? And everybody's going to be like, I'm ready. Then people are like, you sure? And other people are going to be like, oh, heck no. What you talking about? And the people who are like, I'm ready, then you move. And then you look back and you say, hey, we're over here now. We're safe. Y'all ready? And some people are going to say, oh, I guess now that y'all are here,
I'll go. And then some people are still going to be over there, and that's okay. You're going to move forward, and you're going to keep moving, because that is a part of the reason that we haven't done some of the things that we could have done that was even braver than the things that we already hold up and uphold in our times, right? And so just remember, a lot of times we're waiting on everybody. We're waiting on a lot of people. We're waiting on consensus. We're waiting on the meeting to find the spirit in it and all of these other things that's holding us back from doing the work we need to be doing. So tell people and then move. Tell people, move, look back. Hey, we're still moving, but we're moving without you. You're going to come and help and keep moving. Stop going back and saying, well, I gotta, because you know, we crochet together every Sunday. Well, then make it an awkward crochet. It's just gonna be awkward. And let the awkwardness be on them, not on you, because you're doing right. Most callings are not easy, y'all. And so everybody talking about how hard things are is really weird for me, because we also uphold all of these really hard stories of our Quaker ancestors. We talk about them going in jail, right? We talk about them getting run out of town. And then we sit out there talking about we can't go somewhere, we can't do this, we can't, I don't know how to, come on. They had much, much more to lose than we got. Y'all got retirement plans and stuff. Y'all good? All right, one more online. Cindy, give it to us.
1 second. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, I ended up talking to myself, which is fine.
Good conversationalist.
One huge issue, and it has come up in conversation with others within our group and within Deland Quakers, but we haven't taken it to the next step. And that is the problem with minorities and blacks and birth mortality and issues that women face for women's health care that are in fact disadvantaging minorities a lot more than the rest of us. So
Very true.
I was
What
thinking
is your brave thing you're gonna do about that?
I think ask the hard questions of the people that possibly could answer them. Have groups of us go do our research, involve DART, our local group Faith, and have that be a concern perhaps that they will take up in this coming year, because they really are very, very active in meeting with and talking with people in a broad range, interviewing patients, people who were giving birth, who had problems, and get real stories from them.
All
I don't
right. Thank
know how
you.
brave this is, but
Yeah, thank you for saying that part. I needed you to say that you don't know how brave it is, because we're gonna have to get braver. So let me help out a little bit. You don't need to do research. It's already there. Google it and you find it. Period. It's like let's stop this research and reading and reading and reading and research and reading and re like the research is finding the people who are already doing the work and either do what they're doing, pay for what they're doing, make it bigger, make it better, tell them you're going to help, right? So just some brave things, right?
Could I add one more thing? Oops.
Who's
Could I
talking?
add one more thing?
Is it going to be brave? Because I'm about to give some brave options. Do you want to hear the brave options or do you want to hear what you got to say?
I want to help people in
Is it going to
our.
be brave? No, I'm really asking, is
I
it going to
think
be
it's
brave?
brave. Okay.
Go ahead. Tell me.
Okay. So I went to the last Nehemiah action in our county. There were 3,000 to 4,000 people in there from different denominations. You know how many Quakers there were?
None.
One, me.
You.
That
Yeah.
was me. And so I'm trying to hustle up whoever I can. But now that I've been whining about this for a couple of weeks, people are giving me rides everywhere, they're taking me where. I think it's sometimes that we tend to hold on to these things and not let people know. And I'm glad you're talking about this, to let people know what the needs are and tell them they have a place here that they can help us, even if they don't want to do exactly what we're doing, they can support us. And that has got to happen. I've seen the horriblest houses you've ever seen. I've been in them. They're horrible. So I feel like this is a good time to get people. They don't have to go in those
so
houses.
You said this is like a housing thing, right? People, you
it's
said there's bad
yeah.
housing. Okay. So let me do maternal health and housing. Let me combine them. So maternal health, paying for doulas. Doulas have been found to help reduce the maternal mortality rate for women of color. So not you becoming a doula, which takes 6 to 9 months, and then putting together enough people who are interested in you being their doula and blah, 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 yakety smackety. And then you have to figure out the cultural competency, because even though you want to help them, you don't realize you're not helping them by telling them their house ain't right. So pay for doulas. Find doulas who are helping and already in minority communities. Go to their website and say, my meeting has $7,000 and we want to pay for the next 5 women who you service. Period. And guess what? It doesn't have to be low-income women. The maternal health research that we all talk about right now was research I was a part of. I was one of the researchers in Baltimore. I went around to look and take the research data for moms who had babies between 6 weeks and 3 months. And I sometimes sat in homes where babies we're sleeping in drawers. I also sat at homes where amazing lofts and amazing, beautiful skyline of Baltimore, the Johns Hopkins mamas, Black women doing good. And 3 months into that 5-year study, no, 5 months into our 5-year study, Johns Hopkins pulled us together. So we just need to tell y'all something that we're seeing. At that time, the Obamas were in the White House, and they basically said to us, if you have on one hand Michelle Obama, as she is, the president's wife, first lady, a lawyer who has a mother who's in the home helping her, who has maids, has housekeepers, has great insurance, education, money galore. Compare her to Alabama teenage dropout mom with the worst education, the worst health outcomes in our nation is Alabama, or one of them. But make her white, 16-year-old dropout. Her baby has 3 times the chance of making it than Michelle Obama's baby. So stop talking about poverty. It's not. Our eggs have taken in racism. And for my BIPOC people who are in here right now, Black, Indigenous, people of color, meet me at the end of this in room A, because we'll be talking about that and we'll be doing some things to calm our systems, because we have been found in those Johns Hopkins moms, those professors, those wives of professors who were lawyers, the wives of professors who were worked for NASA, that they have the cortisol levels of, if you were in a zoo, but the lions were free. Every time we checked their cortisol levels,
they had cortisol levels of complete and utter fear. So back to the houses. Y'all got people who got hammers? Y'all got people who got hammers? Not hammer. Pull together. Pay for some construction crews. Get your lawyer friends to go and talk to the landlords and say, we have 10 houses that we want to make better. We will do it for free. Just let us in. You worried about what the houses look like? A meeting ain't enough. It don't matter that one Quaker was at the meeting. Did the Quaker go to that house and reconstruct it? Let's do it, y'all. We're talking about meetings. And we're probably 2 months away from an American citizen getting thrown into a freaking foreign jail. What? So now in the room, breathe. If you don't think your message is brave enough, don't say it. Give me something brave. And this is not a put down. This is me calling y'all in. Not calling y'all out. It's me saying, y'all, we have to work harder and stronger. We got to. Go ahead. And I do want this quick. So let me do a quick one. A quick one is, again, we have land. We're going to buy some mini houses. And we're going to let people stay in it for 2 years. Don't give me the backstory. Tell me the thing. Let's go.
Okay, I'm Susan Taylor from Tallahassee Meeting. And we thought of, because our meeting house is a residence as well. I mean, we don't live there, but we meet there. Okay, thank you. So we thought of, and we have some land, and we have gardens that were already growing and contributing to another community garden where there's food insecurity. And we thought of just having our space be a peace center that we would, we wouldn't be the ones in charge of it. If the community peace reach out to the community, gather ideas from everybody in the community, what needs we, you know, what we all need, what we have, all of us have, or what the whole community has, and see how, what we can come up with together to meet these needs to bring more peace and harmony and into our neighborhoods.
Thank you.
So that's,
thank you.
This could also affect the gun violence we're interested in, immigration, harboring people. We don't know.
I was going to say, like, that's the thing, right? Like, make sure you already have some ideas. The reason that you're going to have some ideas is, and I know we've all been told, like, we're supposed to talk to the community and not have ideas. But the reason you're going to have some ideas is, again, because we are at the point where we need to be doing the work already. We're behind the ball. I need everybody to understand that. If you don't have a sense of urgency right now, that says something about the lived experience you have had. Okay? And so that's not anything to be sad about. It's something to say because of that, right? The thing that I say, that everyone has somebody they should be allying for. I'm a Black queer woman. I have people I can ally for. If I do, I mean, I'm just looking around, Might be some people in here that also do. So have some ideas already, because the community needs to know how far you're ready to go, right? So you're going to come in and you're going to say, we want brave and outlandish ideas. You're not even going to do simple because simple is going to automatically come, right? So you're going to say, we're going to make a peace center because we already got this, you know, ready. We were going to do a peace center and we already know we got two rooms that were ready for it to be a sanctuary for people who aren't, don't have a certain status, right? So you're going to be ready with some ideas already, right? You're going to talk about your peace center being able to be a place that disruptors are able to come in, right? And so those are the peace people who are in the hood stopping gang members from fighting and putting together gang truces. And so you're ready to have gang members in your place, not you're ready to have a meeting where the people who talk to the gang members can come. This is a place where they're allowed to come. And they're gonna smell like weed and it's okay, because y'all do too.
So during a dinner, we were talking about like crisis and how sometimes we don't know what to do and we make bad, you know, what we see afterwards is bad choices that cause harm. So like, I think that the people in this room are highly educated, highly skilled people. If you necessarily don't know, like don't feel comfortable giving money to individuals who are out here doing the work, like doulas, because you have a policy where it's like, yeah, we only give money to organizations because, you know, we can't trust that individuals aren't going to go and spend it all on drugs, whatever. We can create directories of people in our meetings with skills, crisis directories, so that when we are faced with, you know, the unthinkable, you know, somebody shows up and they need like help, they're worried about possibly getting deported, things like that. We know who to call, a lawyer, somebody is, you know, sick, they don't want to go to the hospital because they might get deported, nurse, doctor, somebody with medical training, things like that. We create directories of people with skills who are willing to take a risk and use those skills to help the community during a crisis. That's yeah.
Freaking brave, y'all. That's brave. What skill do you have to put on the line? Because, you know, what I said the other day in our afterthoughts is real. If we don't prepare now to do the right things that take bravery, we're going to do the wrong things so quickly, and we're not going to realize that is even happening. There are tons of commentary on German people who didn't realize that they were becoming Nazis. Those who started out wearing swastikas because they just needed protection from the police. Then once they got that protection, they kept that swastika up. So when it was time to dig mass graves, they were called upon. We're being called upon right now to care for people and to do things that feel really hard and scary. We're being asked to go around that bend that Harriet went around so many times, that so many of our Quaker ancestors turned on that light at night to let people know where it was safe to harbor. If they didn't do that, I wouldn't be here to tell y'all this. I would be in some field right now. It's not unthinkable. It took Quakers 100 years to decide to abolish slavery. We did small things around
the edges to try to affect the slave owners who were Quakers, because we were so afraid to tell them, you are harming God's people. You have to decide to see God in them and let them free. We have writings of people that we lift up who said, as long as you're nice to your slaves. So hopefully I would have been with a nice one. That don't feel good. But we somehow went from putting up rules that affected slave owners, like no drinking, no gambling. You got one? No horse racing. That's what we did. I need us to understand the people that we uphold to this day, they could not say that slavery was wrong. So the doubts that you have in your mind right now, I guarantee you, if I asked anyone to raise their hand to tell me that slavery is not wrong, I wouldn't get a hand to raise, I hope. And if you do, I got on my fatigues, y'all. I got on my fatigue. But back then, there were people who decided that. This is our time. The world we're seeing right now is our slavery. And I want to be clear, I'm not just using that because I'm a Black person. I'm using that because we use it. We talk about being abolitionists. That's the time we're in right now to make a decision if we're going to keep eating around the dang on center, eating around the edges, letting people get harmed, seeing it on the news, getting a little mad, but not doing nothing about it. Y'all in Florida? Y'all know how much y'all could be doing right now? I love hearing that people are giving out the banned books. Last year, that was brave. This year, that's simple. We're going to have to be ready to do more. It is feasible that the ideas that we have right now aren't even scratching the surface of what we are going to need to be able to do in the coming months and years. And it ain't just about this administration. I want to be clear about that. Because this administration is nothing but a continuation of America. How could we elect a convicted felon the same way that we can let Confederate soldiers who rose up against our entire nation become right back to being senators again because they agreed on a compromise? Gave them back their land like that. We've been doing this, y'all. We've been doing this. Erasing our history. Oh, they erasing our history. They want to take out Harriet Tubman. Lord, they want to take out Harriet Tubman. No. They taking out the indigenous coders. They've been doing that. That ain't new. We don't know about MOVE. We say Oklahoma City bombing was the biggest domestic terrorist attack ever in America. You know why they can say that? Because MOVE, when they bombed MOVE, an entire couple of blocks in Philadelphia of Black folks, and if you don't know about it, go ahead, look up the MOVE bombing. We can call that the Oklahoma City bombing, the largest domestic terrorism, because it wasn't domestic terrorism. It was our government. We intentionally killed off almost to extinction, thank you, the American buffalo. We're proud of it now. We're proud of the American buffalo. Do you know why? Why we kill off the American buffalo? To starve out the native tribes. It was their food. It was their clothing. It was their tents. We killed them and did nothing with it. We killed them to kill the indigenous tribes. And then they made us a part of it by making us wardens over those tribes because we were the good Quakers. Who are we going to be wardens over next, y'all? Who are we going to make boarding schools for next, y'all? Are we ready? You either make a boarding school and you take away someone's culture, or you figure this stuff out now before it becomes too late, before it becomes to a point where you can't do it. We don't have to end up in the streets killing people. We can right now show that this is not right. We are being inhumane right now. And if nothing else, we're supposed to be the ones standing up against that. We only got one tenet, y'all. We ain't got no sacred book. Even the spices ain't sacred. What we got, y'all? What Quakers got? What's our one thing? No.
There's that of God in everyone.
Say it louder.
There is that of God in everyone.
Everybody say that right now.
There is that of God in everyone.
That's all we have. That's what told us that the Vietnam War was wrong. That's what made us friendly to the indigenous people. And so I ask you, as you go back to your meetings, to start preparing. We are peaceful people. We got our peace testimony. But I am aware that I've been being prepared for this moment for a long time. I'm aware that we have been being prepared for this moment for a long time. Like I said, that work that we were doing in 2014 and 2020, the marches we did, the books we read, the black squares, the blue squares that we put on, all of those things that we did was to make those people your people. Because they need you now. I'm an organizer, and it is imperative that we have people at all different positions. There's people who are going to go at it legally. There's people who are going to go at it by writing. There's people who are going to go at it by harboring people, by all types of ways. And I feel like I've been given these words, these understandings, to create this like line of peacemakers, these line of people who are going to stand in the face of anger and fear and hatred, and aren't going to look at those who are spewing that and say, I love you. They're going to turn around to the people that they're protecting. They're going to turn around to the people who've been hurt. They're going to turn around to the people who are being alienated, who are being scapegoated, who are being made to be othered, who are being seen as less human, who have been talked about as animals and bugs. And they're going to tell them that they love them. They're going to wrap themselves around those people. And they're going to be ready to take the beating. But I'm also preparing myself for that not to happen. I'm preparing myself for people who live like me, look like me, love like me. To once again have to make America great. To once again have to bear witness to all of the pain that America can give. I prepare myself for the time where my blood will shed for not just my people, but for people, to prove once again that we are humans. I prepare myself for that. I prepare for the amazing work that I do, the brilliant and amazing child that I have raised, the people that I love to not have me or to no longer exist. I prepare for that. I prepare to look in the eyes of someone that I've spoken to in this same space, in other spaces. I prepare to see a colleague, a coworker, an ex-lover as the last person that I see on this earth as they kill me. Because they were told to. I prepare. And I'm just trying to help y'all prepare. You can either prepare to help keep humanity or you can prepare to bunker down and ride it out. Or you can prepare to flip sides as soon as possible. My only request is if you're going to go against humanity, if you're going to go towards those who aim to harm others because of the way they look, the way they live, the way they love, just for their pure existence, I ask you to do it now so that we can know who you are. Because that's the hard part. Knowing who put up that swastika for protection and who put it up because they really believed. And I'll tell you this right now. I'm not a Quaker because of the peace testimony. And so when it becomes between me helping humanity and me staying a Quaker, I didn't wear these fatigues for no reason. I love each of you. I love each of you. I love that you brought me here. I love that you went where I went. I appreciate each of you who stayed on because I know we're over time. I didn't know everything I was going to say today, but I knew whatever I said, it would be rightly ordered. You just heard my prophetic voice. I hope it was strong enough for you. Blessings. Have a good night.